For February 8th, 2018, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Hey everybody, it's the Lullabot Podcast, episode 223. I'm Matt Cleave, senior developer at Lullabot. With me as always, senior friend and developer, co-host of the show, Mike Herschel. Hey Mike.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great. So we've been talking about all of the great initiatives that have been happening within the development of Drupal Core and the really cool things going in. And there's one more on the list that we need to talk about, isn't there?
Yeah, next up is the layout initiative, which we're going to find out about.
So for a long time, users have been doing great things in Drupal, but there have been some really interesting workarounds that have been, you know, like, thrown into the ecosystem about how to put stuff on a page.
Yeah, panels, display suite, etc.
Context.
Yeah, or just working with their regular block
the
system.
The block system, yeah. Yeah. Lots of different ways to do it differently, and there's some really great work happening right now to do it the new, quote, right way.
Yes, the one API to rule them all.
One API, and the folks that know the best are on us on the podcast today to tell us all about it.
First up, we have a senior software engineer at the office of the CTO at Acquia. He is the second most prolific Drupal core contributor. He has 1,356 core commits, which is pretty phenomenal. You can always find him wearing a red Philadelphia Phillies hat at DrupalCons. He is known as Tim Plunkett on Drupal.org. That's Tim.Plunkett on Drupal.org. And Tim Plunkett without the dot on Twitter. Welcome, Tim.
Great to be here. Go Eagles.
So also with us today, we have a senior front-end developer also at the office of the CTO at Acquia. She's responsible for the redesign of the Drupal.org front page. She's from Vancouver, not British Columbia. Washington, not DC. She says it's basically Portland, Oregon. It's Emily Nouveau. Hey, Emily.
Hi, great to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
So, layout initiative, what exactly is it and what modules are included and what do they do?
Well, the layout initiative's been officially an initiative for about a year and a month. And we're working on a couple different things. And I'm not even sure which ones we're 100% officially responsible for anymore. But the big highlights are there's a field layout experimental module, the new layout builder experimental module, and then the stable layout discovery module, which is for the layout API.
And so what do each of those modules do? Let's start with field layout. How do I enable that? How do I work with it and what can I expect?
Yeah, starting in, I think Drupal 8.4, it's an experimental module called field layout. Uh-huh. The intention was to just take the layout API and apply it to the existing fields UI. So it was for laying out the content of your site and the forms that represent that content. It was intended as sort of a middle ground between the core field UI and display suite.
So is this on the manage display tab of maybe a content type or something like that?
Exactly. Manage display and manage form display.
Okay.
So how is this different than what's currently can be done with even Drupal 7? What's new?
The difference from core in Drupal 7 is that you're able to select from a predefined set of layouts and rearrange your content into it. So before you were able to arrange your fields in a weighted order, so just like top to bottom, you could say what order they were in. But now you can kind of group them into different regions. Like and have two columns or one column or something more complex.
And will that, you can do that on say like a per view mode basis?
Correct.
That's pretty interesting. So that'll follow around views or anything like that.
And you mentioned the layout API. Where did that come into play and what exactly is that?
Well, so if you're familiar with either panels or display suite in Drupal 7, you had to write your own layout plugins. And if you wanted them to work in Display Suite, you had to write them one way, and you had to write them in for panels, you had to write them a different way. And there are several other modules that also had similar approaches. So the solution was to come up with a single API that worked for all of the different modules in the ecosystem. So we gathered everyone together and identified what the needs were and came up with a single layout plugin contrib module. And then iterated on that for a bit and then put it in core it was renamed Layout Discovery. And the basic use of the API is to allow you to provide your own layouts, and the module goes and discovers them and presents them in a way for your other contrib module to use.
So a module can use a layout that's been defined in code, or you can define a layout in code for other modules to use.
Yes, and both modules and themes can provide custom layouts.
Okay, and so is the layout builder something that can build these layouts within the interface that can be exported, or how does that work?
So that is not what that is.
I tried. Yep,
and it's funny because we went back and forth on the naming because we were worried people were going to think that's what it is. But really, Emily had a really great idea that kind of changed how we were thinking about all of this, which came after field layout. And I'll let Emily talk about that.
Thanks. So when looking at new pages that people are building, I noticed that most of them are kind of components-based. So they have kind of different laid out sections of the page. And it's pretty common to want to build a layout like that. And people have been using paragraphs recently to build layouts that way. So you have different sections that you can move around. And so the idea was that we can take the layouts provided by Layout API and make them into essentially rows on the page, and they're different sections. And you can go in as a content editor and say, okay, I want to add a new section to the page. Here, I'll select the layout. And then you can put the content into each bit of that layout into regions. And then you have basically different sections that have their own layouts, and you can stack them to build out your page.
That sounds kind of interesting. So let me make sure I understand this properly. So I can add multiple sections to a page, and within each of those sections, I can say make that into a 2 or 3 column layout. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wow. And when I add content into those sections, is that maybe a field or a block or a view? What type of content can I put into like each region within the section?
Yep. So right now you can put in blocks into each of those regions. And what we're doing is working on exposing entities as blocks so that you can put different fields into the area. And basically the idea is you can put any bit of content into those spaces and they function as blocks.
Yeah, that'd be pretty amazing.
I'm trying to imagine this. So it's to be honest, it's not anything that I've taken a look at yet. I haven't yet, you know, downloaded Bleeding Edge and started to work on it or play with it at all. So I'm coming from a perspective of knowing nothing, but listening to this explanation, I'm seeing a lot of parallels to how panels used to work. Did we build panels in Drupal 8?
So it's closer to Panelizer than panels.
Yeah, I guess I kind of think of those two things together since they often get installed together. So, okay, Panelizer. Okay.
But yeah, so it's directly inspired by Panelizer in the sense that the intention is to lay out your content. And that's kind of the focus of this so far has been on content. Since, you know, that's what drives most of Drupal as a content management system.
It's a, you need a system to manage your content, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, so I just wanted to kind of bring it all together. I was trying to explain this to someone recently, and it's, you know, if you have an article, you want to lay out an image at the top with a description of that image next to it, and underneath that have like the main the article that you're about that image, and then beneath that you might have three different calls to action, like one right next to each other.
Yeah,
and previously you'd have to go in and write a template that says, okay, I have a 2 column and then one big column and then 3 columns at the bottom. And instead of having to do that, you can go and add 3 sections and make the first section a 2 column, a 1 column, and then a 3 column, and just combine those very simple, smaller layouts into one larger, complex one for that whole piece of content.
So how is the styling with this? I'm assuming it comes with maybe some default CSS.
Core ships right now with about 5 or 6 different layouts that were exactly the same ones that were in panels in Drupal 7 and Drupal 8. And it uses CSS. What is it? Sorry, Emily, I'm about you to talk about this part.
Oh, yep. That one's using Flex right now.
Okay.
Yeah, eventual goal would be to get them on CSS grids, but Flex is what was ready when we've been building it out. So
that's yeah, and I know that Internet Explorer 11 doesn't support CSS grid, unfortunately. So you're probably going to be stuck with Flexbox.
So the current layouts are using Flexbox, and we have the current discussion is around having some simpler layouts that are going to be more suitable for rows, because some of the current ones have a header and footer area.
Okay.
The markup in CSS for each of those is defined by the layout template itself and by the layout plugin. So if the combining them into multiple sections doesn't add any additional markup or any additional styling. So it's completely up to the individual layouts that you choose to combine together to make the markup for the whole page.
That makes sense. And you said earlier those can be either on the in the theme side or on the module side, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about challenges. How long has this been in discussion, and what were the challenges of getting this into core?
Yeah, well, there was originally a layout initiative in Drupal 8 during the 8.0 cycle that I wasn't involved with. And this sort of grew out of that in a way.
You're referring to the Scotch initiative, right?
That was called the Scotch initiative.
Yeah.
Don't make me try to remember the acronym, but it was called the Scotch Initiative.
Well, I think it was just some people trying to be smart because the other one was called Whiskey, right? The Web Services Core something initiative, right?
Or Context Initiative.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go. Yeah. So Scotch has to be the same but different. From what I recall, Scotch relied on Whiskey, so it had to be done later, so it just kind of never got done in time.
Correct.
Yeah.
So this was a fresh start, as it were. It really grew out of the fact that we banded together to come up with this sort of single unifying layout API that for both Panelizer and Display Suite and panels to all use. And once we kind of had some momentum on that, we thought of ways we could introduce it to core, which is when I came up with the idea of field layout as just bringing layouts to the field UI. And it was a solid effort, and it required a lot of fixes to other parts of core to make it kind of expect that, you know, content could actually be laid out more than one way, and not just the assumption that it's all going to be in a single stack. But since then, we had a conversation at DrupalCon New Orleans, and then most recently, this concept of sections. I remember Emily talking about it at Baltimore. When after Baltimore, we had a sprint, and we came up with a working, like hackathon level ready demo, last in May, and then have spent since DrupalCon Vienna kind of working full time on putting it into Drupal Core. For 8.5.
Yeah, I remember during the Dries note in DrupalCon Vienna, there was, you know, this video that he showed, and you know, and they showed the layout builder with the Umami theme, and it looked beautiful, and it was just like super easy. You know, they had integration with the settings tray and stuff like that. It was very, very slick. So was that all made up?
That was a real demo. We wanted to show what we could do with the Umami theme so you could see what you'd actually do on a real site using the real code that we had at the time.
Yeah, we didn't cheat. That was real actual PHP code running. Yeah, I mean, Emily built the whole demo, but it was all using real actual code.
Okay.
Yeah, the, as you mentioned, the settings tray... So we did build Layout Builder, the UI for it. Yeah, the Layout Builder UI uses the settings tray to canvas dialog. So every time you go to click to add a new section or configure a block, it slides out this dialog off the side of the screen and lets you make your changes in real time, the layout in front of you.
That's pretty neat.
So all this talk with building our new layout system, field layouts, you know, the layout builder, that kind of thing. This is all happening within Drupal core that already has block layouts and the way that works. How do the two play nice together?
So they play very much the same way that blocks play with the managed display in stock Drupal 8, which is that they don't really care about each other. We used to control the main content area of the page. Like global, the site Chrome and is still controlled by the block UI. You know, some people think we should bring the section and layout functionality to the full page. That might still be done. It might be done in contrib. But the idea right now is to keep it confined to the main content page. Don't want to have, if you want to be able to control the full width of the page, you just don't have any sidebars in your theme and then you won't have to worry about it.
Can you set custom visibility rules for, say, like fields and stuff like that within the I don't know, the field layout module? For example, if content exists, then do this, or if that field doesn't exist, do something different?
No, the field layout module is really just a field UI plus the concept of layouts. Like, it had no other extra features there. You will be able to place your fields in that UI ability rules for each. The way we do that is we have made fields exposed as, and blocks already have visibility settings. So you place the blocks within your sections and they represent the fields. So you can still do the same sort of visibility conditions.
So you mentioned the settings tray and, you know, it's this jQuery off canvas dialogue. And I'm guessing that the layout builder and all the drag and drop stuff is also jQuery, but there's also a push to integrate React or some type of, you know, modern JavaScript library into Drupal core. Is there plans to upgrade like any type of legacy jQuery code to React or anything like that?
Yeah, there has been some discussion there. Actually, in a bunch of the React things, they were discussing what feature of Drupal would be the best one to start with. And they were thinking about doing the toolbar, for example. But the toolbar is special in a way in that modules want to be able to add things into that UI, into the toolbar. And so shifting that from jQuery, or actually, it's, I believe the toolbar is written in Backbone.
Yep.
To something new like React would be basically an API break. The nice thing about Layout Builder is the API is just at the data model level. The UI itself could be changed at any time. So yeah, right now we're using jQuery UI sortable and using the jQuery modals for the configuration tray. Straightforwardly rewrite that entire UI in React without anyone really noticing, since no one's going to be hooking into this UI to change it.
This is a lot to throw at a user when you talk about laying out a page or laying out fields within an entity or something like that. Talk a little bit about the design process and how this is something that we're going to roll out to users and it's something that can be usable.
So for end users, the goal is that they won't really have to think about what's behind this at all. So when they go to create a landing page, they will be presented with kind of their blank slate page, and they have the option to just add a section, and they'll see there that they can add content. And from there, the settings tray pops out, and that's where they select a layout, and then they can select their available content all from the settings tray. And then they, once they're done with that, can go to add another section if they need to for the page. So the idea is that it's just seamless content editing where they don't have to really touch any of this configuration, and they can build their pages all from their content area.
Did you do, did you or anyone else do any type of usability testing with the new UIs?
So we've done a little bit of usability testing with some content editors and around what they expect from interactions. And that's how we've gotten some of the idea of how we should put, you know, add content, how to surround it in a way that draws their eye. But I do think we have some more usability testing that we can keep doing as we're iterating through designs. So I'm excited about that.
We're talking about the layout initiative on the Lullabot podcast, making Drupal 8 great as far as your layouts go. We're talking with Tim and Emily, and they know everything about it. And Mike and I are learning a lot about it. And we'll talk about the status of things and how this is moving into the future coming up right after this.
Whether you're learning how to build sites with Drupal or diving into the code, there are community-powered camps, summits, sprints, and trainings happening all over the world. Coming up in February and March alone, there are events in Princeton, New Jersey, Portland, Oregon, Milano, Italy, London, England, Orlando, Florida, Charlotte, North Carolina, Chicago, Illinois, Panjim, India, Essen, Germany, Amherst, Massachusetts, Buenos Aires, Argentina, and San Diego, California. Find all of these and more at drupalcal.com. And of course, if you want to boost your Drupal chops from the comfort of your own home, point your browser to drupalize.me and stuff your brain full of carefully crafted videos and tutorials.
Welcome back. We're talking with Tim Plunkett and Emily Nouveau from the office of the CTO at Acquia. And we're talking about the layout initiative, which is a drag and drop interface to move your content around in Core. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really great that this is coming to Core, Mike, because, you know, it's that this type of functionality has been able to be done for a long time for a Drupal user, but, you know, it takes three or four different contributed modules and a lot of configuration and holding your tongue right and, you know, a lot of knowledge in the background. But bringing it into Core, I think, brings a lot more power to Drupal, don't you suppose?
Yeah, and there's also, you know, there's always competing solutions, you know, say like going in between context and panels and stuff like that. You have to make that decision early on in, you know, the architecture process, not maybe understanding the full ramifications of what you're doing.
I waved that context flag for a long time.
Yeah, I like context. It was easier to grasp, although the user interface for it was obviously pretty terrible.
Yeah. So, Tim, Emily, this is something that will be rolled into being an experimental module in Drupal Core at some point, or what is the status of things right now?
Yeah, so right now it's an alpha stability experimental module, which means it's still in active development, and everything is breaking every other day, and you shouldn't use it yet. But we're really pushing hard to get to beta stability, which means you probably still shouldn't use it in production, but you can start sort of speccing it out and integrating with it if you so choose, and sort of seeing if it's gonna be the solution that you need. And the hope is that it'll be a beta experimental module in the Drupal 8.5 release coming out on March 7th.
Right on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is that for all the modules that we mentioned, the field layout, layout builder, and layout discovery?
So layout discovery is a stable module right now.
Okay.
That's the thing that you use to define and provide your own custom layouts. So that's already in Core, shipped as a stable module. You can safely provide your layouts using that API, and nothing needs to change. Field layout's in an interesting spot. So as I explained before, it was sort of like an incremental improvement. It was intended that way, to sort of just bring a little bit of the new stuff to the existing field UI. And it's largely going to be supplanted by the layout builder, but only in one key area, which is laying out your content. Laying out your forms and your content forms is still something that only the field layout module can provide. Layout builder has no sort of path forward for that yet. And it's been what field layout for content forms has been relatively well received. The ability to just kind of change the order of and the presentation of the forms so that it makes sense to your content authors has been pretty great.
And for clarity, you're talking about like an entity form, right? When you're talking about content forms.
So if you're writing a new article, you might want to give them the things that make the most sense and lay them out next to each other. Or if there are sort of fields, if you're making a recipe, like, oh, the directions and the ingredients are two separate things. They don't need to be, you know, right on top of each other. They can be kind of, shifted around and put the meta stuff in a sidebar.
On the node add form, an image and a caption might be next to each other or something like that. Yeah,
exactly.
So you mentioned the layout API is stable in Core. Does that mean like Contrib is currently taking advantage of it?
Yes. Display Suite, Panelizer, Panels are all using the layout API, and they no longer have to have their own custom solution for layouts.
Okay. So does that mean I can maybe say ditch Display Suite, go to Panelizer and back again and still be able to keep my layouts?
Yeah, you'll be able to use the layouts that you've written. So like the template and the markup and the CSS and all that is completely portable across any of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, obviously between the two architectures, you'll have to get your data in and out and configuration, but the layouts themselves are completely portable.
That will also
be true for this new Core solution, is that the layouts are all shared between them.
So if I'm building a website today in Drupal 8 and need a way to do layouts, what should I do to make sure that I'm future-proofed? So
my recommendation right now would be to use Panelizer. It's the one that maps the most closely to Layout Builder. And there's also the panelizer maintainers have, I don't want to say promised, but they plan to write an upgrade path from panelizer to the core layout builder.
They're volunteering to deprecate themselves.
Yeah, they are. There's only a couple things that are going to be left that not supported by core once it's finished. Panelizer has this concept of multiple defaults, so you can kind of swap between like pre-configured different layouts, not just the layout, the visual representation of them, but like the fact that they actually have, oh, let's say the body's in the right field or in the right region, and the, you know, the tags are in this region, like these kind of click together configured layouts. You can define those, multiple of those, in Panelizer and switch between them. That would be something that would be still left to contrib, but that could be just that single standalone module that does just that. Similarly, on the display suite side, they have expressed interest in deprecating display suite in favor of layout builder. There are a lot of other things that display suite does in submodules. Like there's a module called display suite extras, and it does a lot of extra things. And that will very likely continue to live on. But the core functionality of display suite should largely go away.
This is kind of exciting and slightly terrifying at the same time, in the same way when somebody told me that Views was going into core. It was like, wait a minute. Hey, that's great. Everybody uses it anyway. But developing something like Views or something like, you know, layouts, for example, like we've used panels in the past or anything. I mean, that's a ton more code. That's a lot new functionality that will maybe get dragged behind by the core process. But I think that might not be true. I'm talking myself in circles because it's like, oh, this is cool. It's going to be in core, but it's like, wait, but it's in core. And that might not be a good thing because of, you know, the speed of development and iteration on new features. But it's like, well, no, that's not how core works anymore. So I don't know. It's just kind of cool.
Core is completely different animal than it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, it was like 3-4 years in between releases before. Now it's every 6 months.
Yeah. And we're not having the small core versus big core discussion anymore, are we?
No, it's just fast core.
Like
core? It's moving quickly. It's not even giant. I don't mean it in the software sense, but it's agile. It is nimble. Core is nimble. It can react quickly now to changes in the market and the needs, and we can iterate on things, especially with this new experimental modules process. You know, it hasn't been smooth necessarily, but I think core is finally hitting its stride with regard to experimental modules. And I really hope that this field layout to layout builder kind of transition will be a good example of how that works. Yeah, in layout builder, I've written an upgrade path. So it'll upgrade your regular, if you use managed display, like vanilla field UI, it'll migrate all your stuff over to this new section-based layout. But if you were using field layout as an experimental module, it'll also migrate that. So you can make a smooth transition from one to the other.
So how has the experimental modules capacity affected this initiative?
Can you rephrase? What do you mean capacity?
Like the fact that Drupal core has the ability to have experimental modules in there, that's a relatively new thing, as opposed to like one big monolith all in one 100% done patch. How has that affected your ability to develop this, to put this in core, and you know?
Yeah, it certainly let us be a lot more flexible. Like we've been able to scope things out and say, this is required for like a beta version. Like this, we can't ship without these eight things, because this is the bare bones, what everyone expects, the minimum viable product. And then we know what really needs to be done to call it stable. Like it doesn't have to just work. It has to look good and be intuitive and be, you know, kind of bulletproof and make sure we've nailed all the edge cases. And then even after we then get to a stable point, we can still iterate and add new features as we go. And you know, as we do usability testing, both, you know, controlled usability tests and also just, you know, listening to people complain about it on Twitter, we can kind of respond and make improvements as we go.
So Twitter is a valid place for me to complain.
Absolutely
about this?
No. Mostly just never mind, edit that part out.
So Tim's Twitter handle is Tim Plunkett without the dot in there, at Tim Plunkett.
I will totally take feedback on Twitter if that's what people want to provide it.
All right, thanks.
We actually did some user research. Like Angie Webcheck tweeted out some stuff recently looking for some feedback, and there was some interesting feedback, and I read it, and then I closed my browser and went back to not looking at it. But Emily, you know, you did actually have some really good interactions with people in that thread and get something usable out of it.
Yeah, I thought that was really helpful. And I mean, sometimes people feel more comfortable interacting on Twitter than they do in an issue queue. So I will take feedback wherever I can get it.
So that's DYANENOVA.
Right? Yep. Feel free to tweet me.
Yeah. And we'll have underneath the little introduction section within the podcast page, we'll link to your Twitter accounts.
What you're saying, though, actually kind of makes sense, because if I'm on Twitter and I'm just griping, and if maybe somebody asks me a question, I can explain my gripe a little bit better in more than just bitching. But if I'm in an issue queue, it's like I'm volunteering to do it. And I understand the difference there. So that makes sense.
So is there any features that you were really, really hoping to get in that are not making it into any of these modules?
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's this thing in Drupal 7 panels called, I believe it's just pane styles, like for the panel panes, and sort of the ability to write customizable styles around it so that each, you know, individual piece of content could have its own sort of wrapper that's defined outside the content. And that's definitely not going to be something that we get into the first version, but it's something I really think is powerful and was underutilized before. And if we can kind of get it into core and surface it in an interesting way, I think it could be a big help to a lot of people.
Is that like the rounded rectangle thing or the...
Yeah. And that's really like not the... that's a very Web 2.0 like usage of it. Like, it, you know, it was a nice way to demo it, but that really didn't even scratch the surface of what's possible there.
Yeah, so one example, I think, of pane styles in use in sort of a modern design is Drupal.org's page uses a different style for banners or for a logo callout or things like that. And that's done with a pane style for the editors. So,
yeah, that really does fit into like componentized design and development, which is pretty neat.
There's one feature that I'd really like us to be able to get in that's using the toolbar edit modes. So right now in Layout Builder, we're using kind of the local tasks for doing your saving and canceling. But we have this idea of using the edit modes in the toolbar and having basically a real edit mode that modules can plug into, and then it goes into just that space. But we need to work out how exactly we want to do that for all of core. So that will be after MVP.
That sounds like a nice usable feature.
Yeah, I'm really excited about edit modes. I think that that they'll make a big difference for people.
What else are you excited about, Emily, when you think about the initiative as a whole? What parts of the project are really cool?
I'm really excited about, actually really excited about seeing the out of the box initiative and seeing how that plugs into all of these things. So it's been a lot of fun to see people seeing these initiatives tying into each other. And when you can look at how Layout Builder is used in out of the box and how media will be used in out of the box, I think seeing all of these come together for people really has been fantastic.
Yeah, we did a podcast two podcasts ago with the folks from the Out of the Box initiative, which was pretty fantastic.
Tim, if you don't mind, if we go back a second, we were talking about some of our parallels to panels and the way things were done before. How within a layout can we, are we able to pass around contexts and arguments in a similar way that a panel's layout might have been able to do that?
Yeah, so that's actually one of the things I would say is something I'm really interested in working on is kind of expanding on that. So all of the things are now using, all the blocks are using context, specifically the field blocks require, you know, the context of, you know, the parent entity. So if you're laying out a node and changing the layout for that node, it knows which fields it has, and you can do that. And you can even use any references and then pull in other content via those references. But sort of navigating along that path and saying, oh, I don't want just the user who authored this. I want their picture, just their picture. And being able to kind of like drill down into that level is something that is possible in panels in Drupal 7 and Drupal 8, but is really, really, really complex. And it can get out of hand quickly, and it's not, we haven't figured out a way to intuitively present that. So I both want to work on the functionality, but I also really want to just, you know, finally try to get that right, and be able to expand the context available from just the piece of content that you're viewing to something larger.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. Performance-wise, I'm assuming this integrates in with Drupal 8's caching system?
Yeah, I mean, caching is kind of a prerequisite for core modules at this point. Like, when you write automated tests, the caching is enabled to, like, the fullest extent while the test runs. So, you know, the test mocks, by it logs in as a user with a set of permissions and then clicks around. And writing, you know, every time I wrote a piece of code that didn't bother with the cache stuff, I wrote the test and it failed immediately. And I had to say, oh, you know, while I was checking this, this sort of like, I was checking the path, so I need to say that this is cached by which path it's on, or this is related to the user's permissions, so it has to be cached by the user. And then, you know, the test would pass. So that's actually one of the best things about being doing this as a core module, is that we're held to that standard, so that these things aren't an afterthought. You know, we have to have full unit tests and functional tests for everything, and they catch all sorts of, you know, schema issues and caching issues and access issues and everything up front. So we're really putting out a good product at the end of the day by doing it from within core.
So let's talk about what's next for the layout initiative after everything goes in. Are we looking? You mentioned we're hoping to get this in 8.5. Is that a sure thing yet? And what's blocking it? What do we need to do to make sure that's in the 8.5?
All right. Yeah. So the beta deadline for Drupal 8.5 is February 7th, which, as I'm told, will be the day before this podcast airs. So we, you know, the notes posted along with this podcast can tell you whether or not it happened or not. There's a number of things that we have as beta blockers, as we call them, for what needs to be done in order for it to ship. And if we get them all done, it will be available in 8.5. And if we don't, it will be delayed till 8.6, which will be released in the fall. So in terms of helping with that, it'll be a moot point by then. But even after, once we get to the beta, if it lands in 8.5, that's when the real fun starts, because we've kind of really pared down the list of things that we're working on right now to only include things that are absolutely required. And once we get all those, you know, checkboxes checked, then we can start opening it up to work on the things that need to be done in order for it to be stable. But also any other additional features and things people want to include, and kind of actually making it real and not just the minimum version of itself.
Are you going to be talking about this at DrupalCon Nashville? Hopefully.
Yeah. So session submissions for DrupalCon closed yesterday. So I know that multiple people from the layout initiative submitted multiple sessions. So we will see. But, you know, all the initiatives will be speaking in some capacity, whether it be a full session or just a series of BOFs. So there will definitely be someone there talking about the layout initiative in an official capacity at DrupalCon Nashville.
Okay. Are you going to be sprinting on the Friday afterwards? And if so, is there anything that maybe newcomers can help out with? Or is there any particular need that you can identify that people might be able to look at?
Yeah. I mean, I'll have the link in that along with the podcast. But we have an issue tag that we tag all of our issues with. It's blocks-layouts. And there are a lot of issues in there, and we need pretty much every discipline that's relevant to Drupal. We need, you know, end users, we need site builders, we need themers, we need backend developers, we need people to write documentation, we need people to test translation, like everything you can think of, we need. We want to show off to people, so if you're like an evaluator, come by and make sure it actually has that wow factor.
So bike shedders?
Yeah, bike shedders have a special table in the back.
Yeah.
Everyone else can come sit at our table.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Yeah, people can identify you. Are you going to be wearing your red Philadelphia hat?
I will either be wearing a red Philadelphia hat, or I will be wearing all green all the time for the Philadelphia Eagles. That remains to be seen.
Yeah, yeah. So like by the time this podcast comes out, we should know if your city is still standing.
Yeah. One way or the other, Philadelphia will make it through.
So any final thoughts, starting with Emily?
Yeah, so it would be great to have people who are interested in front-end work and in design to come by and both look at the usability of it and work on improving the design. Because right now we have our MVP design, but we'd love to add even more polish to it. And I'm excited to see this go in and excited to see content editors getting to use it.
I'm excited too. Tim, what's your prediction for the Super Bowl? I want an actual score here.
I'm going to say 31-21 Eagles over Patriots.
All right.
So we have to keep in mind that this podcast was recorded on January 25th, where the Super Bowl is February 4th. So
Alexa predicted the Eagles would win. So, you know.
Alexa must be right.
Yeah, there's no going against Alexa. And you know, if the Eagles lose, then the Eagles were wrong and not Alexa. That's how it works.
Right. Absolutely.
So
I'm just going to avoid the whole Super Bowl by attending the Drupal Summit in Portland. So
good plan.
I'll be skipping out on the end of Drupal Camp New Jersey to go watch the Super Bowl, unfortunately.
Drupal Camp New Jersey and Drupal Camp, what's Drupal Summit Portland, right?
Pacific Northwest Drupal Summit in Portland.
Yeah. Well, those will be in the past, but I'm sure they will have been awesome events. Tim, do you have any final thoughts about the layout initiative?
No, I'm just really, really excited for the progress we've made so far and really looking forward to working on some of the new stuff now that the plumbing is mostly out of the way. I really mostly just want to get it in the hands of real people and see, you know, how it improves their Drupal experience.
Exciting. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
And if anyone has any feedback, feel free to to tweet at Emily, but not Tim. Thanks.